Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Blessed Savior Lutheran Church in the celebration of the fourth Sunday of Easter. We have a couple of very quick announcements before we begin service this morning. First one is an update about my son, Daniel Kush. You can actually see him right there. Daniel is doing very well. He has gone through his major surgery, the Norwood procedure, and has come on the other side of that doing just wonderfully. He is healing and resting right now in Cardinal Glennon in the TCU, and where Haley and I are very hopeful that we'll be able to bring him home actually early this week. It has been a wonderful, harrowing journey that we've had, and we thank each and every one of you for your prayers and even your donations of cards for the local restaurants around here. You have been a tremendous blessing to us. Thank you so much. This past Tuesday, also April 28th, was the call day for Concordia Seminary. It was a bit different. It was done with kind of like we're doing right here, doing on the recording. However, we do have some wonderful news about our seminary students who we have been blessed to have with us for many years here at Blessed Savior. Kyle Will received his call from Epiphany Lutheran Church in Lake Worth, Florida. Kyle was in what we call a convertible vicarage. So at the end of his vicarage program, he would be installed as the sole pastor there at Epiphany. And here are some humorous pictures that his family took, celebrating him being the future pastor of this wonderful church. They are extraordinarily blessed to have him as their pastor, and he is extraordinarily blessed to have them as his congregation. We also had our field workers, Brian and Michelle Dole, who received their calls as well, and they received their call to Our Savior Lutheran Church in Minot, North Dakota. He'll be serving as the associate pastor at Our Savior, and it is no surprise that Michelle is going with him. She is having a call pending, and we're hoping that as Brian has gone to Our Savior, he will be going to include her in this ministry. Her master thesis was on small group ministry, and it is hoped that the people of Our Savior will extend a call to her as their deaconess when they realize what a gift God has brought to their church. We do have one of our seminary students going on vicarage this year. P.J. Artsvall will be doing his one-year vicarage at Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Lakewood, Colorado. P.J. and Melanie Artsvall had initially planned to do some missionary work in Argentina for a year before going on their vicarage. But due to COVID-19, the seminary has temporarily put a stop on all mission work abroad. But we celebrate with them and wish them the best of luck and lots of learning for P.J. and Melanie as they start this next chapter in their life as students and future pastor. We do have a COVID-19 update for everyone here. As of this recording, Governor Pritzker has kept the quarantine order in place until May 31st. The Presidential Task Force for the COVID-19 pandemic has suggested that social distancing should remain in place now throughout the summer. Here at Blessed Savior, we're still trying to figure out what all this means for the assembling of the church. We thank you for your prayers and your patience throughout this ongoing process, and we ask that you continue this as we move forward in these next coming months. For now, we pray that the services online have been a blessing to you. We've been emailing the announcements and encourage you to pray for and keep in touch with those on our prayer list. We will keep you posted with any updates that might affect the church, and please call the church office if you have need or prayer request. We also have our Facebook site that offers some devotions and Bible study things from Pastor Matt, and his YouTube channel. We are going through the book of Daniel right now, and there's some other ones that you can check out as well. And I encourage all of you to take some time throughout your week to go into the Bible and maybe go walk with us as we delve into this book. But that is all the announcements that I have for this morning. Let us turn our hearts and eyes from the business of the church toward our Heavenly Father as we begin today's worship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening sentences come from Psalm 95. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Let us come before God in true repentance, seeking forgiveness and amendment of our lives as we follow the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to live kindness and to walk humbly with your God? We take a moment of silent reflection on our brokenness and the promise of our redemption through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray, merciful God and Father, we confess that we are indeed a broken people, and without your help, we are depleted of any spiritual resource to change our fallen nature. We agree with you that we have done the evil you forbid and have not done the good you demand. And that gap between what we should be and what we truly are brings us deep sorrow, anxiety, depression, and shame. Without your saving grace, we are forever trapped in this sinful body of death. Forgive us, Almighty God, and grant us the new nature of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, so that, by the working of your Holy Spirit, we may follow where our Good Shepherd leads and live out our daily lives, empowered by the same Spirit, faithfully keeping your command to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God, until that time when we, by your saving grace, come to your house forever. Jesus said to his disciples, and now to us, peace be with you. Our God is merciful and has promised forgiveness to those who turn to him for mercy. My fellow redeemed, receive his divine favor. Jesus, God's Son, now declares to us all, your sins, though they are many, are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us walk together in peace with our Good Shepherd and with one another. We take a moment now to share God's peace. Let us pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant to us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue our worship with readings from Holy Scripture. The first lesson, fourth Sunday of Easter, is from the second chapter of Acts. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and of prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together, and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings, and distributing them proceeds to all, as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is from 1 Peter, the second chapter. For this is a gracious thing, when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We continue worship with the singing of our sermon hymn.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our resurrected Lord. Amen. The Word of God is an astonishing thing. About the time you think you've got the meaning completely down, the Holy Spirit opens your mind to a deeper understanding. That's how it was for me as I was reading the Gospel for today. Nowhere else does Jesus express the intent of his mission and ministry more clearly than in the verse at the end of this passage. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. In contrast to all the world would rob of us, the thieves and bandits he mentions, Jesus comes to give not just life, but the abundant life. Not just survival, but the life that is flourishing. Not just getting by, but thriving. Not just existing, but living with true and lasting joy. Jesus offers, in sum, more life than many of us can imagine possible. What took me by surprise reading through this text this time was that there's surprisingly little talk about sin. Jesus doesn't say, I came because there's all these sinners that need forgiveness. No. He says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Don't get me wrong. I believe our lives, our actions, our very beings are tainted by sin. And it's all because of our connection to Adam and his sinful and fallen nature. But as I read passages like this and the other central passage that we all know by heart, John 3:16, I'm struck that the operative terms aren't always or even regularly sin and forgiveness, but rather life, light, love, and more. That's the abundant life. I need God's forgiveness. But Jesus wants to give us so much more, a life that is full. Which leads me to wonder whether we've narrowed down how we understand and talk about our salvation. All who enter by me, Jesus said, will be saved. But sometimes it appears to me that we've adopted a negative view of salvation. How so? Salvation is often understood as the erasure or the blotting out of our sin rather than the creation of new life and possibility. Forgiveness of sin is the essence of the gospel and should be cherished, of course. But it occurred to me, if that's all we understand salvation to be, we are at best only going back to square one and miss that Jesus offers us not just life, but life in its abundance. You see, a lot of Christians today are in a cycle of sin and forgiveness, which continues throughout their lives. And to a certain extent, this is going to be our reality until Jesus comes. But if you stop right there, it's easy to get caught in what some people would call a definition of insanity, meaning we sin and God forgives. We go back into the world, we sin again, sometimes in the same way, over and over again, and then we come back to receive God's forgiveness. Is that what you would call abundant life? Better yet, is that what Jesus would call an abundant life? I guess it hit me particularly hard this week when I was watching a presentation by Dr. Henry Cloud. It was entitled, Healing that brings change. It's a wonderful study I hope that we can use sometime later this year. And it was the title that caught my attention, Healing That Brings Change. Because so many Christians suffer from that cycle of sin and grace, never to advance beyond to the abundant life. And while we will always be there, as I previously stated, I don't believe God wants us to stay in the depressing rut of sinning and running back to God, only to repeat those steps over and over again. Some have said that's what the definition of insanity is, to repeat something over and over again with no results. Dr. Cloud uses the parable of the fig and the fig tree in the vineyard from Luke chapter 13. And I believe it helps us to understand the ministry of Jesus and how it works for us. You probably remember the story, but I'd like to break it down for you. A man had a fig tree in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. We've understood this passage to refer to God as the owner of the vineyard, seeking an expectation of those inhabiting his vineyard, whether they're living in the world or in his church, fruit. The law demands, and man fails to produce the fruit of righteousness that God expects. So he says to the vineyard, the vine dresser, look, for 3 years now I've been coming to seek fruit on this fig tree, and I've found none. Cut it down. The operative word here is judgment. Man does not produce the fruits of God's expectation, so he should be removed and not take up space in God's vineyard. Judgment is what produces godly fear in us, and that certainly has its place and purpose. But what happens next is absolutely incredible. The vine dresser inserts himself to stop the judgment. The fig tree gets an advocate and some time. Christians understand Jesus to be the vine dresser, and he is asking the Father, the owner of the vineyard, to remove the judgment. Remember what Paul says in Romans chapter 5? There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Friends, that's where we are today. Jesus has taken the judgment of God away from us, sinful and unfruitful human beings such as we are. This is what Jesus did to begin the process of bringing the abundant life and mitigating the revolving cycle of recurring sin. As I said previously, it will never go away permanently in this life. But we should also know that God's goal is to create us to be more like his Son, Jesus. And how this happens when it seems like we're caught in a vicious cycle of repeating our sins over and over and not seeing the fruit of righteousness that God desires to grow in all of us. While I'm not denying that we need to see our sin, to confess it and receive God's forgiveness, it has got to be frustrating for both the offended as well as the offender. There's got to be more to it than just being a forgiven and forgiving sinner, such as we are. We are also the children of God through Christ, given a new name and a new nature. That has to make a difference in the here and now. What Jesus seems to be driving home to us in this parable is a life that is flourishing, that is thriving and joyful. But if we stop here at this part of the story, we'll never get to the abundant life. Look what happens next. The vine dresser asks to do more. What does he want to do? He wants to dig around the tree and fertilize it. He wants to dig underneath to see what's in the soil that might be preventing the fruit from growing. And he wants to deliver nutrients so that it can bear fruit. You and I know that we can be real good about presenting ourselves in such a way that we can appear to be fine on the outside. All the while, underneath the surface, we are torn up, broken, and starving of any nutrients to survive. We need help. Jesus often criticized the Pharisees for their hypocrisy. He said they looked like whitewashed tombs, clean on the outside, but inside there are nothing but dead men's bones. Even worse, instead of recognizing their own failures, they developed traditions and insisted that the people obey them, and building law upon law, they made the plight of the poor in spirit even worse. Jesus had come into their midst to save, and they saw him as an enemy to their position and power. What they could not see, what St. Paul later learned after his conversion, was that the law had no effect to bring righteousness. He says there is a righteousness apart from law that Christ would give in order that people would be saved. What the Pharisees did is our temptation too. When people are beat down in life, distressed in their circumstances, and powerless to make changes in their lives, what do we tell them? Well, you need to repent. Get stronger. Work harder. Kind of sounds like Job's so-called friends, don't they? Whereas Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So here's the connection. If we're involved in the mission and ministry of Jesus, we need to follow the patterns and works of Jesus. So real quick, let me review. God wants us all to live lives in abundance. Salvation came to us through the proclamation of the Word. We learned about God's expectations and judgment, but we also met Jesus, the vine dresser, who intervened and became our advocate. Now, here's something we often miss. He then asked to do ministry, to dig around in people's lives, explore what was hurting them, and then give them the nutrients they needed to become not just fruitful, but abundantly fruitful. There is the mission and ministry of Jesus all laid out for us. The truth is, everyone needs to have someone who will go beneath the surface without judgment to see what we are suffering from or lacking in our lives in order to give us the nutrients we need to produce good and healthy fruit. And that's exactly what Jesus did for people when he roamed from town to town, casting out demons, healing broken bodies, and mending torn up souls. But Jesus is no longer visibly here with us, you say. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, just as it says in the Creed. But let me tell you, The Lord's incarnational ministry has not left the face of this earth. It has been transformed. Before Jesus parted, he said, "I must go. And that's a good thing that I go away, so that the Comforter may come." Jesus' visible presence has been taken from us, but he has redeemed the church and transformed them into his body so that his incarnational ministry and mission may remain here on earth. And Jesus promised to send his Holy Spirit, who would abide with his church forever. He is here. Here's the secret of the message. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, "You are now the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." Paul is saying, individually, you are members of the body of Christ. You see, Jesus hasn't left us. He has transformed himself into the living organism called the church. And because Christ is present and all-powerful, he's able to be with us in person. He said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst." At the heart of the gospel is the resurrection promise of life, possibility, and potential, and great power. And we can see for ourselves what Christ's presence in the church accomplished as we read through the book of Acts. You see, it wasn't meant to stop there. These writings teach us that we're not only saved from something, but also for something. For life in all of its abundance, here and now. And that becomes our mission and our ministry. Friends, we cannot miss that. So when we encounter someone who has made a wreck of their lives, we should not follow the example of the Pharisees and say, "Keep trying. Read the Bible. Confess your sins. Obey the law." That's not the example of Jesus. You see, Jesus removed the judgment of God, and he began to dig around to find out what was preventing their ability to produce fruit. And then he applied those wonderful nutrients of life to help them in their time of need. God is calling us, the church, the incarnation of Jesus, to do the same. Back to John 10. And the second thing I noticed this week is that Jesus doesn't define the abundant life. I believe that's because salvation is contextual. What's that mean? Let me give you an example. Just before John 10, Jesus heals a man born blind. For the man born blind, abundant life is sight. It is release from dependence. It is freedom and light and new opportunity. This, in turn, invites us to imagine that abundant life and perhaps salvation itself is highly contextual. For the blind man, it is sight. For the single parent, it might be companionship and help. For the bullied teen, it might be acceptance and an advocate. For the impoverished neighbor, it might be dignity and a chance at self-determination. For the retiree, it might be involvement in a worthwhile cause. You get the picture. So if these things are true, that salvation is more than just forgiveness, but the abundant life itself. And two, if the abundant life is contextual, defined by release from whatever is robbing us of God's intentions for us, then I think in this passage, there is a profound invitation for us not to simply listen to Jesus' promise of salvation and abundant life, but actually to live into it. How do we do that? By joining ourselves to his mission to bring the abundant life to all God's children. But, and this is so important, we cannot join this mission if we ourselves come as fixed people and looking at everyone else in the world as broken. Who of us is not in need of the Good Shepherd who lavishly applies the ointment of grace upon our lives? Who of us doesn't need the Good Shepherd to be our advocate, to stop the judgment of God and mend our brokenness and give us spiritual sight? But if we proclaim that we live under the gospel of grace and deny we're in any need of it any longer, we're no better than the Pharisees in Jesus' day. We too need to come to Jesus, who is the door to the abundant life. We need his advocacy and non-judgmental approach to our sin. We need his tender care to dig into the problematic areas of our lives and then give us the nutrients we need to realize the abundant life he has for us. How does he do that for you? He does it through his incarnational ministry, through the church, the body of Christ. Perhaps salvation and abundant life, like happiness, aren't goals for which we strive, but rather byproducts of following Jesus. The one who opened the eyes of the blind, fed the hungry, comforted the distraught, and everywhere and always witnessed to the universal and unending love of God. We are in the business of sharing that abundant life. And if you look around, you'll see a world that is barren. Maybe it's time to explode and expand our vision of the abundant life. That abundant life isn't simply a promise about a distant, eternal future, but a concrete invitation to discover it right now. We need to understand that salvation isn't only the forgiveness of sin, but also being commissioned by Jesus to help others experience the abundant life in their setting. That's what the church is all about. We are collectively the body of Christ, encountering people who need salvation, who need life. And however we do that ministry, Jesus' ministry, as the body of Christ, we're inviting people to experience the abundant life now as present and concrete reality. I have seen the signs of Christ working throughout our church. Let us be all the more determined to live under the gospel of his forgiveness and as his transformed people, ready to do his work of bringing the abundant life to all the world he so dearly loves. Let the church say amen. Amen. Let us now profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Blessed Savior family, thank you for recognizing the importance of your offerings. You have not given to the church begrudgingly or under compulsion, but out of pure joy for the love God has planted in your hearts. Each week that we've been under this quarantine, you have faithfully demonstrated the principle of Christian stewardship. Freely you have received, freely give. May God continue to bless you with his abundant grace and favor.
Bidden by our shepherd, let us come before his throne of grace in prayer on behalf of all people according to their needs. Blessed shepherd, you have established your church with your sacrificial death and mighty resurrection. Grant us devotion that we may abide in the teaching of the apostles and honor the fellowship of the church. Guard us against all enemies of your word and keep us within the care of your flock and staff forevermore. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Mighty Shepherd, you hold in your hands all the might of man, and you hold accountable those who would govern your people. Grant to us good government and good leaders who will honor your purpose, protect your people, serve the cause of justice, and defend our liberty against all threats. Give them wisdom and moderation in their pandemic response. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving Shepherd, you loved the world enough to shed your blood, and you desire that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. Inspire and equip your church and her ministers to speak faithfully and boldly your word, and bless all those who serve us on your behalf. We pray especially for Kyle Will and Brian Dole, who received their calls earlier this week. And we also pray for P.J. Archibald, who received his vicarage placement this week as well. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Shepherd, your wounds are our healing, and your voice calls to you in time of need. Hear us on behalf of all those who suffer in body or mind, who grieve those whom they love, and to whom death draws near. We pray especially for Aiden Solga, Kizolga's granddaughter, who fell and broke her arm. We pray for Dean Paulsmeyer, Janice Paulsmeyer's father, and for Polly Scher, Carla Weaver's mother, who both have been diagnosed with COVID. And we also pray those for who we name in our hearts. Grant them healing according to your good and gracious will, and grant your grace to sustain them in the day of trouble and hope of the new and everlasting life to come. Be with all of those who are unemployed and the distraught, and return them to health and livelihood. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Shepherd, you seek out those who have fallen and restore the sinner to repentance. Send forth your Spirit to rekindle faith in the hearts of those who have fallen away from the truth or have been overcome by temptation and sin. Bring good from ill and increase in all the hunger for your word and a recognition of our need, that many may be gathered into your flock when the church doors are opened wide again. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Good Shepherd, you have not withheld anything from us, but emptied yourself fully upon the cross that we might be saved. Move our hearts to such devotion and teach us such generosity that we may bring to you the tithes and offerings of a grateful heart and serve our neighbor in need with the resources you have supplied to us so abundantly. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Good Shepherd, you set your table among us in the presence of our enemies. Hear us because we are beset by so many false voices and tempted by so many false gospels. Help us to hear your voice and to abide safely in your word that remains forever. Equip us with your Spirit so that we may receive your body and blood with faith and repentant heart. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving Shepherd, you are the giver of life, and you richly bless each and every one of your flock with your grace and help, and you guide them throughout their lives. Remember those whom you have blessed this week: Chris McManus, Kyle Kesting, Cheryl Sell, Peyton Johnson, Oscar Garcia, Ben Lazier, Stephanie Mabry Yep, and Gloria Alvarado, who celebrate their birthdays. We pray that you would strengthen them in faith and that they may grow closer to you each and every day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O great Shepherd, we pray you to hear your sheep and answer our prayers with mercy, granting us those things profitable for us and our salvation, and keeping from us all things harmful. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And remember us in your kingdom, Lord, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And receive the blessing of our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you all his peace. Amen. So go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Nearly 10 years ago, when flash mob videos were popular, we used this uplifting song to celebrate the Lord's resurrection. The current quarantine has robbed us from our ability to move about freely with each other, but it cannot take away our ability to move our bodies in praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body. So if space allows, please join the celebration. If mobility is an issue, at least kick off your shoes and enjoy the video, which praises the Good Shepherd who came to bring us the abundant life.
We have often asserted, and we affirm it yet again, that no fact in history is better attested than the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It must not be denied by any who are willing to pay the slightest respect to the testimony of their fellow men. That Jesus, who died upon the cross and was buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, did literally rise again from the dead. Thank you.
celebration. We're calling out to every nation to spread the word that Jesus.